Now, back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
Oh, there we go. Life is bigger.
Out of Athens, Georgia. REM. Michael Stipe. I wasn't a huge fan of some of the 90s music, but compared to some of the stuff they got today, that stuff sounds pretty good to me. 8:15 is the time. 1-866-823-1077 is the number. And as we do, well, quite frequently on Tuesday mornings, we check in with the Department of Agriculture, Markets, and Foods. And we couldn't find anybody today, so I guess we'll settle for the commissioner of Agriculture, Markets, and Foods. Sean Jasper with us. Morning, Sean.
Good morning. Quite the introduction.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, usually we find like one of the soil people or one of the bug people. We couldn't find them, so we got you. So.
Well, you'll just have to suffer along.
But we do it so well. We enjoy suffering with you, Sean. How's the pandemic been for agriculture in New Hampshire? A help or a hindrance?
Well, for some sectors, certainly a help. Mm. I think the greenhouses selling plants, whether it be vegetable or just flowers, have had a really good season. Now, of course, they've had to add help to deal with the pandemic, but people have really been doing well. The greenhouse in my town that I deal with, they were having trouble getting out into the fields to actually plant things because they were so busy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing everything by appointment online, so been a new world out there for others. And of course, one of the good problems, I guess, if you will, people are looking to do more local meat, and there just aren't enough. There's not enough capacity in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the issue of not enough trained butchers. You know, back 40 years ago when I was at UNH, they had a program in Thompson School on meat cutting, and they did away with that a good number of years ago. So there aren't even as many people who have some idea what they're doing. So mm-hmm. people say, well, yeah. We need more slaughterhouses. Well, our current slaughterhouses can't even find enough help to operate at full capacity in many cases. So
wow.
It's a double-edged sword.
Well, you know, we talk about it as hunters. We talk about it every fall. It's like, where are we going to go to have the deer or the moose cut up? There are no good cutters around.
No, that is a real problem. And we think that certainly the farmers markets, as they get open, are going to do well. We just see a lot of opportunity out there right now, and so
is there enough demand, Sean, that somebody could put together a class on meat cutting that you could get enough people that would do it?
You know, I don't know. I haven't actually heard of people looking to get into it. So mm-hmm. I mean, that's the other thing. Not only do we not have enough people, it's a pretty tough business to go into.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, and so it takes a special type of person to want to do that day in and day out. And you know, that's the problem that we have in agriculture in general, is people don't want to do the dirty work that is required, and really in all sectors of agriculture.
But is this time, and I know you don't have a definitive answer for this, I don't think anybody does, but the shelter at home, and is this changing some people's attitudes about that? Because I know the people that we talk to, the farm stores, they were selling out of seeds, and six packs were coming in the door and going out the door. People were planting like fools this year, and they said, you know, we'd get an order, a truckload in, boom, stuff's gone. Are people starting to say, well, wait a minute, I guess there is a reward, may not make a ton of money, but there is a reward for me to get my hands dirty?
Well, I think that's more the homeowner, mm-hmm. who has decided, you know, maybe it's a good idea to have a vegetable garden with some fresh vegetables. Certainly, a lot of people bought baby chicks who probably yep. never bought them before, and those were yep. were selling out. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing a lot more home agriculture, which is a very good thing, and it's something that I actually had predicted way back probably in April or so in one of my columns. I said I suspected that we would see a lot more vegetable gardens being planted because, of course, if you have any land, you can plant a few plants virtually on any lot. So we are seeing a lot of that, and I think that's a great thing. But even so, I mean, you'd say, oh, well, that could be a harm to some of the other producers. Well, no, not really. I think it just makes people more aware of the fact that, you know, there are fresher alternatives out there. You have to spend a little bit of time to go to your farm stand or go do pick your own. But I think there's an appreciation of that, and I'm certainly hopeful that that carries through beyond this year.
Okay, I want to start a dairy farm.
Wait,
what?
Well, okay, now listen, I can see people like wanting to grow stuff for themselves, okay. and kind of get a, instead of the food chain being all messed up and anything, they kind of want to put things in their own hands. I don't think anybody's starting a dairy farm right away.
Okay.
Yeah, the big problem with that, and actually there is one that's going to be started up near the Franklin-Tilton line.
Nice.
A young lady who's coming over from Vermont. I don't know too much about the details. She's going to be putting in a robotic machine.
There you go.
She's going to be doing strictly raw milk. And that's really the only opportunity right now because yeah. of the quotas that have been put in place.
Yeah.
There's a lot of not just dumping of milk, and that's pretty much stopped, but mm-hmm. people have to reduce their production.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening now is the bigger producers are looking for farms that are going out of business within their network. For instance, Dairy Farmers of America or AgriMark is their co-op. They're going and they're looking for a farm that is going out of business, literally buying their herd just for the quota. They're not actually bringing the cows to their farm, but they buy that quota.
Wow.
And I just heard a price where people are doing, you know, paying $4,000 a cow to get that quota to be able to keep their operation up at what was their full capacity, with not an expansion, just getting back to where they were.
Is there any state or federal assistance for people that want to you know, get into ag or dairy farming or anything?
No, not really. Right now it's all about, you know, supporting what's there. The federal dairy program was very generous, going to help keep a lot of people in business. It's still a tough business to be in, but it's, you know, there was $3 billion through the first 6 months of the year for just dairy. And so that's going to be helpful, but there's nothing out there. And certainly, nobody's encouraging anybody to get into the bulk market. Again, there's the specialty. There are a lot of people who do like raw milk. You know, there's some inherent danger with
right.
raw milk, but it's very minor. And if you know that you're getting your milk from a clean facility, you know, probably no real risk at all.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, so from when you walked in the door as commissioner, things looking better, the same? Have you, just tell me it's not worse.
No, I think in general it's better in some areas. Certainly Derry continues to be that problem area, but pick your own operations, community supported agriculture, farmers market. I think they're doing well, and I think they're going to continue to do well. But ultimately it's going to depend on the consumer. As a nation, we pay very little of our income towards our food.
Yep.
If you're going to buy fresh produce from a local farm, you're going to pay a little bit more, and I think there is a willingness to do that. And as long as we continue to see that going on and people understanding that a good part of what makes New Hampshire a great state is our rural atmosphere and being able to drive down the road and finding a farm, and if people continue to support that, we're going to do very well in agriculture.
And it looks like this is just going to be a banner summer and a banner fall for people with greenhouses and gardens.
Yeah. I mean, right now, of course, we're facing a prospect of another drought, which is going to be really problematic. Much of the state, I saw grass burning in May at home. And it's like, my God, I've never seen that before.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Some places just have not had a substantial amount of rain. We were lucky on Sunday afternoon down, but only in part of Hudson. I mean, we had a good, steady, hard rain for an hour or so, and it really soaked into the ground. But that was really only part of the town, and I don't know how far that extended. And those are sort of scattered, and so it is a concern right now.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is
the hay crops and the
stuff that we've got now. This is typical mid end of July. I don't want to see this in June. That does not bode well for the summer.
No, and that can be a problem for any producer, whatever they're growing, if they don't have the ability to irrigate, and if the wells start to get low or the rivers start to get low, there's a whole other problem. So, you know, that's the thing about agriculture. There's just when you think things are going great, so Mother Nature can come along and really whack you upside the head.
Wow. I mean, ag is a dicey proposition and a good year. But, I mean, weather dependent. I mean, what's going to happen now without rain to the apple crop and, and the fruit crop? Hopefully they have irrigation and watering. But, again, that's an expensive proposition to put in.
It is. Well, hopefully most of them have it by this point, because certainly it's been a long time since we've had one of those summers where we just got the right amount of rain at the right time.
Well, it's like ski areas. I mean, show me a ski area that doesn't have snowmaking. You know, the days of just waiting for Mother Nature to dump white gold on you and just take it are gone. You can't predict it.
Okay. So
go ahead.
Sorry that I'm not able to be in the studio. I miss being in there with you.
No, I know. We love having you in, but, you know, we're getting back to the point where we'll be able to.
We're starting to open the door a little bit. It's good.
It's all good. So, Amy Hall has been on with us a few times and talking about dairy, and she's been giving big shout outs to you and the governor for carrying the milk for the dairy folks.
Well, I appreciate that, and the governor has been very, very supportive of the programs. Of course, for our COVID relief, we actually, in agriculture, actually ended up with more money than we asked for, much of that in reserve, just in case there is an unanticipated problem. We just closed out on the registration process for the maple, fruit, and berry producers, actually at midnight last night for the over $50,000, and not as many applicants as we thought, which is a good thing.
Okay.
Which may allow us, and I know the governor wants us to take a look at maybe reopening for those under $50,000, which is something we've had been talking about anyhow, but we didn't want to overwhelm ourselves here and spread the money too thin. So we've got to evaluate what we've got, but there may be another opportunity because there are some people, and you know, $50,000 is a pretty low mark, but there are people who certainly help support themselves if and their families below that, because that's a gross number, which means they're probably, you know, if they're doing really, really well, they might be making a 15% profit, and you're talking, yep, you know, $7,500 maybe, mm-hmm, that they're helping to support their family, but we're willing to take a look at that and see what we can do. I think the ones that got hurt there are primarily people who were supplying restaurants. Now, mm-hmm, as the restaurants open up, mm-hmm, that pain is going to be a little bit less, but there were certainly some operators who may have had hydroponics and greenhouses, and they just got shut off totally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that obviously was a real problem for them, so...
As we head into summer and fall, well, we're into summer and fall, the farmers markets, we have the mask and the social distancing protocols in place, but other than that, farmers markets are going to be the farmers markets?
We hope so. I mean, there'll be a little bit more distancing, and everybody's, there are no rules or regulations, so we're providing guidance, and Gail is working really hard on that and being very helpful to answer questions and try to alleviate concerns. You know, relative to reusable bags, like some farmers markets are saying, no, we don't want reusable bags. Well, if people are using those as their shopping cart and they're not handing them back and forth, those should be something that people should be able to use if they want to, as long as they're not being handled by every... Mm-hmm. vendor along the way. So rules like that, guidance like that is coming along. I know initially there were concerns down in the seacoast about opening because of the crowd sizes, and the governor was helpful again in alleviating those concerns for the farmers markets that were on town or city properties. I haven't heard any more issues about that, but it's going to be very important to have these markets open, not only for the farmers, but for the consumers. Mm-hmm. Our food supply seems to be holding up well. The meat counters seem to be relatively full again. So unless there is something else that comes along much worse than we're anticipating, I think our food supply is very safe.
Yep. As the head of a state agency, are you looking to the legislature? Are you waiting on them for anything that's going to impact you?
No, not really. Most of the initiatives that we had died. There are a couple of things that are still alive in this process, but nothing earth-shattering. And, you know, we're appreciative for what they're doing, but we're in pretty good shape. The budget is going to be the real issue,
right,
here.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, well, it was fortunate. The legislature had been very generous, and for the first time in, you know, about, since LCHIP came along about 40 years ago, we had money to purchase development rights. And I, you know, recognize that that certainly wasn't something that was going to be the highest priority,
sure,
given the fact that we could be looking at, you know, $400 million needing to be cut from the budget next year alone. So, you know, that money's not going to be able to be used. That's going to have to be turned back over to keep things going, and hopeful that we can keep our staff here with some creative ideas, because we're full staffing now for the first time since before the last crisis,
mm-hmm,
and I don't want to put us back in a situation where it'll take us another 10 or 11 years, mm-hmm, to get back to full staffing. So that's my biggest concern right now, is that the governor and the legislature will work with us to allow us to be creative in the use of the funds that we have available, and keep our staff here because, you know, it's important for food safety, consumer safety, for animal feeds, any number of areas. I mean, what we do is really consumer protection. And when we are not at full staffing, we're not doing the job that we should be. We're just doing triage, and we're out of that mode for the moment, and hopefully we don't go back to it.
Well, you got challenges as commissioner of Department of Agriculture, Markets, and Foods. But think of the challenges if you were still Speaker of the House.
I'm very glad to be where I am.
I would think you would be.
You know, I've been in the office virtually every day, and I feel like I've been in a bunker. This is not what I'd hope to be doing. I miss going to the meetings, talking to the groups, and getting out to the farms, and I'm hopeful that I can start getting out of here. These four walls are getting a little old.
Yeah, I would think. Now, see, if I'm a producer, I'd want to see the commissioner just showing up at the farm someday and going, "Hey, what's up? How's it going? You know, talk to me."
Yeah,
I would think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it. I mean, I've certainly been talking to a lot of people on the phone, but it's not the same.
No.
I want to get out there. My department vehicle has not turned a wheel since March.
Oh God, no! You got to do a road trip, Sean.
Seriously, believe me, I know it.
You know, and pick up when you're out doing the road trip, you pick up the ice cream trail map, and so kind of follow that as you're traveling around.
Exactly.
Well, Sean, it's always great to chat with you, and yes, we're looking forward to getting you back in the studio where we can actually look you in the eye as we giggle. We hope the best. We believe in agriculture. You know that. And would like to see it as one of the bright spots in New Hampshire as we begin to emerge from this pandemic, at least round one. Mm-hmm. So we're cheering for ag, and we'll do everything we can to make it happen.
We appreciate all your support, and be well, and hopefully the next time we chat, it will be in person.
You got it.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Thank you, Sean. Have a good one.
You too. Take care, guys.
Commissioner Sean Jasper, Department of Agriculture, Markets, and Foods.
Right here in the state of New Hampshire.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah, if I was Sean, yeah, I'd rather be the Commissioner of Ag than the Speaker of the House right now. Like,
oh,
yep,
God, yeah. Oh,
yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good trade.
All right. But he's right. He does need to mask up and head out.
Got to do
well,
it.
Well, I mean, just mask up when you get together with people.
And just...
You don't have to do that when you're driving.
And
along.
The ice cream trail map. It's like, okay, that's I'll have a root beer float here.
And then he's
I'll have
a dairy
moose
farm.
Track cone here.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay, Sean's going to weigh an extra 12 pounds by the time he gets back to the office, but it'll be a productive trip.
It's an occupational hazard.
There you go. 836. We'll take a break. Back with more.